Thanks for tuning in. This is Coach C, and you're listening to Inside Pitch here on TW3 Radio. This week, I want to talk about coaching. What does it take to be a good coach? The first thing that comes to mind is winning. You got to have more wins than losses. You have to beat certain teams. You have to win your division. You have to make the playoffs. You have to win the big games. I think you get the point. That's the metric that the fans measure. Are the wins important? Yes, they are. But there's way more to it than that. Coaches aren't born, they're made. It takes years to become a good coach. And I'm not just talking about head coaches. I'm talking about coaches at all levels. As you learn, you start to build a philosophy, a way to look at what you do. I've been around coaches all my life, player, as an umpire, and as a coach. Some have been very good, some okay, and some downright awful. But every coach I've ever met has left his mark. I was able to learn something from each and every one of them. And it's helpful because it covers both sides of the coin. What to do and, more importantly, what not to do. I started making a list a few years ago. It's a book I've never gotten around to writing. Items have found their way onto the list and found their way off of the list. A lot has changed as I grew older, especially when my priorities changed. My priorities changed because my education level changed. The more you learn, the better you become. What you're doing right gets reinforced. And if you're doing something wrong, and we've all done stuff wrong, it gives you the opportunity to change. You need to have these traits to be a good coach. Number one is caring. This is the number one principle to me. And you got to make sure that everybody around you knows that you care. I think this is first on every coach's list. This is the cornerstone that everything is built on. If you want to be a good parent, teacher, leader, everyone around you needs to know that you care. It starts with a solid foundation. Your players don't care how much you know until you know how much you care. How many times have you heard this? It's a major premise of life. It carries over from athletics to the workplace. Your employees. Your fellow workers don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Your first win is to win the hearts of everybody in the organization. Remember, you're dealing with people first. You may coach baseball players, football players, whatever, but they're people first. Same with your employees, your coworkers, customers, and clients. They are people first. I'll tell you this, it's amazing how many times I've seen people screw this up. And the result is very few people give their best effort to people they don't like. It's common sense. You know it, and so do I. Number two is to be a good example to your team. You have to set a good example. Every great coach leads by example. I think about Bobby Cox, who used to manage the Atlanta Braves. He was a great skipper. Another one is Nick Saban, the head football coach at Alabama. A really, really great leader. You're the leader of your team. And as a leader, you're under a microscope. You're always going to be evaluated. And the important thing to take from this particular tenet is that you have to be right now today what you want your team to be in the future. Your team is going to watch and see how you prepare, how you handle winning, how you handle adversity and losing, how you handle family values, how you handle your workload. They're going to look to see how motivated you are. Do you come into work every day intending to win? Do you come to work trying to get better, even as a leader? Never assume you're not being evaluated. It's a big mistake, huge mistake. I found that over the years, kids, my players and parents were constantly evaluating how I did things. People gain confidence when they see that you have confidence. When your actions speak for themselves, everybody listens. You've got to be a good example. And it's so important for your kids, your teammates, everyone, to see great examples around them, following the right people. There's a huge difference between impressing people and impacting people. Coaches impact people. The most important influence in a person's life is another person worthy of emulation. You know, think about this. Do your players or your employees want to be like you or have nothing to do with you? It's an interesting question. Number three is you got to create the right atmosphere. And it's one that people enjoy working in. This is done by way of leadership. A person's attitude is directly proportional to the attitude that you create. Are you optimistic? And do you have a positive attitude? How do you feel when you drive into the parking lot each morning? How do you feel when you get out of the car? Are you looking forward to practice or going into work? Or are you like many? Are you just looking for a reason to turn around and go home? Hey, I've been there. There have been times I've just kept on going. I'm ashamed to say that. If you want everybody looking forward to coming into practice or to work, you need to do these things. You need to recognize people. People love to be recognized. One of the best mentors I ever had was a client named Jack. He was unbelievable. He came into work every day, and before he got settled, he'd walk around his office and say hello to everyone. He let people know he appreciated the effort that they were putting in. He praised people publicly, and he told me he never did this privately. He admonished people privately. He said praising people in public did wonders for their self-confidence and their self-image. He also taught me that it made other people work harder so that they might get the praise the next time around. A great lesson. And it really comes down to this. When you believe in your people, they will believe in you. When that happens, anything is possible. Number four is to really delegate and then lead. I learned this concept when I was in the Marine Corps. It was called the five-paragraph order. The acronym was SMEAC. Situation, mission, execution, admin and logistics, command and control. It was leadership 101, and it was burned into my soul. So what's a situation? How are you going to know where you're going if you don't have a plan? And this is a defined plan, not some off-the-cuff impromptu plan. Mission. What are you trying to accomplish as a team? And what do you expect out of your team? Execution is, how are we going to get it done? And you have to sell this with passion. You got to believe that you're going to be successful. True leadership is shared leadership. You can't get this done by yourself. This is where delegation comes into play. When you delegate something, it shows that you have confidence in others to do the job at least as well as you can. The big surprise comes when they do it better than you could have done it yourself. You know, there are people out there that see delegation as a sign of laziness. It isn't. It's a sign of self-confidence. You know, when you take it a step further, not delegating something is really a sign of insecurity. Delegation is also a sign of trust. Delegating empowers people. It makes them feel like they're part of something special. And they had a major hand in the win. You've heard this said before. People don't always remember what you said or did, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And I will tell you this, learning to delegate was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to learn. It took me a long time, and my life changed when I learned to delegate. Next up is stamina. By stamina, I mean both mental and physical stamina. This isn't the rah-rah stuff. You know, this isn't like wipe on, wipe off, feel good motivation. Stamina and energy is what gets people to work harder. Hard work is not a form of punishment like many people think. The only way that you're going to get better is to work harder. There's no way that you're going to get better by working less. It's a proven fact. If a coach has high stamina and energy, it's transferred to the people around him. It's contagious. And does this put you out of your comfort zone? Yeah, it does. If you don't push yourself, you won't see if you can get better. You know, it really comes down to this. Why settle for the status quo when you can reach for the stars? I mean, why look at the dirt when you can look at the stars? On a side note, you know, there's a few things that people sometimes forget. One is that you are never neutral. You don't have a dog in this fight as a coach. Coaches and leaders are either giving energy to the team or they're sapping it from them. The people who sap a team's energy aren't good for the team. They've either let their passion become an obsession or worse, they've become a cancer. Number six is to build relationships. Relationships are about giving. The people who develop the best relationships are ones who give more than they receive. In fact, it's better to give than to receive. Everybody's heard that. And it's best to give and expect nothing in return. Relationships are always in flux. Some grow, some don't. And the best way that you're going to grow a relationship is with trust. Next, I want to talk a little bit about attitude. The only thing more infectious than a good attitude is a bad one. Coaches have the responsibility to change or eliminate bad attitudes and reward good ones. A good player with a great attitude will consistently perform better than a great player with a bad attitude. Talent alone doesn't get the job done these days. You win and lose as a team. And the teams that are built around the best relationships are the ones that have the most success. Solid relationships are often the difference maker. If I've done my job right as a coach, the second guessers and the armchair quarterbacks won't be able to undermine what I'm trying to build. Number 7 is really about credibility. You earn credibility by being and doing 3 things. First, you got to be sincere. Second, you have to be believable. And third, you've got to be someone that people can trust. Credibility takes a long time to earn, and you can lose it in a heartbeat. It comes down to integrity. Either you have it or you don't. There's an old cliche that says if you have integrity, nothing else matters. And if you don't have integrity, well, nothing else matters. If the players know that you have their best interests at heart, they will listen to you and they will give it all they have. But, and this is a big but, there are no secrets in a locker room or clubhouse. If you lie to one person, everybody in the locker room or clubhouse will know inside of a day or two. If you lose the locker room, you lose the team. And if you lose the team, it's because you've lost their trust. When it comes to coaching, I don't have any secrets. My philosophy has grown over time, and I can tell you, I'm not done growing and learning. I'm always looking to add new principles of leadership, new principles of coaching and teaching. Because my number one goal as a coach always was and always will be to help kids be the best that they can be. I really want to inspire others. If the team wins, they did it. If we lose, it was my fault. As I wrap this up today, I think the number one takeaway is this. You're always dealing with a person. It doesn't matter if you're a coach or a boss, you're dealing with people. I always felt I never really coached baseball. I coached kids that played baseball. Think about that. I coached at a school that didn't have athletic scholarship. The kids were playing baseball for fun because they loved to compete. They loved the game. And I always had to keep that in the back of my mind. The guys are out there playing and they're giving everything they have because they love the game. And as a coach, I wanted to help that player be the best that they can be. You know, I know that they don't have to be there. And I wanted to build an atmosphere in which they really, really, really enjoy competing. In coaching your sport, in coaching your athlete, you're coaching a whole person. And that sometimes young people need more than just coaching how to play their game. They need coaching on how to go to class. They need coaching in self-discipline. And what about coaching in mental toughness? You know, I've coached kids that have come from broken homes. There was never a strong male figure in their household growing up. And sometimes they need an atmosphere in which they simply feel secure. So all these things are part of being a coach, especially so at the college level. I always enjoyed the opportunity to sit around a dinner table and talk with the players about something other than baseball. You hear things that help you gain insight into that person. I had players that could sing. I had players that could play musical instruments. You wouldn't know that from being on a baseball field. You really get to know a person when you sit down across the table from them and break bread. And you also see the little things that you know that the guy needs. You know, maybe he needs a swift kick in the keister. Maybe he needs some tender, loving care because the environment that he came out of would not be conducive to even putting him in the environment he's in today. You know, a lot of kids climb out on their own. And I always felt, and still do this day, that there is absolutely no way that you can spend too much time visiting, talking, communicating, and connecting with your players, as long as you're talking about the right things. Someone once asked me, what are the rewards of coaching? You know, the trophies are great, the rings are great, but it's what they represent that means the most to me. Trophies represent what people can achieve working together for all the right reasons, doing the right things, at the right time, for the right reason. The biggest reward for me is seeing somebody do something he never thought he could do but dreamt he could, and then watch them go on after school and do even greater things, like be great parents. Lots of my former players are doctors, surgeons, attorneys, business owners, and entrepreneurs, and some of them are right now beginning to coach their own kids. That tells me I did something right. And that, to me, is the biggest win of all. Well, hey, the light just started blinking, and that means time's up for this week. Thanks for being here. I'm Coach C, and you've been listening to Inside Pitch. We'll see you next week. See ya.